Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to Genesis chapter 24, verse 10, where we left off last time. Genesis chapter 24, verse 10. I'm entitling this lesson, Divine Alignment. Divine Alignment, or Divine Order. The Apostle Paul says, let all things be done decently and in order. And the Bible says that with this confusion, God's not in it, that God is not the author of confusion. Paul also says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that these things happen to these people in the Bible as an example for those of us here at the end, and we are at the end of this flesh age, to show us what we need to know. So we're going to see an example of how we are to have divine order in our lives. Now, last week, Abraham's wife, Sarah, died, and so he realized it was time for him to find a wife for their son, Isaac, because God had said that through Isaac is going to come the Messiah, the Savior of the world. That would be our Lord Jesus Christ. So if he's going to have children, he needs a wife. So Abraham had called his trusted servant, Eliezer, and he said, I want you to go back to my father's country and find the Adamic girl that God has chosen for my son Isaac. It must be the pure seed. It must be the right lineage, the right pedigree. And then I want you to bring her back as a bride for Isaac. And so the servant said, yes, I will do that. Now, the servant's name means the resurrection of the priesthood. It means the same thing as the Greek, Eliezer means the same thing as the Greek Lazarus, resurrected from the dead. We know that our Lord Jesus Christ is our high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, ever living to make intercession for us. And we know that he became our priest after he paid our sin debt. And that enabled God the Father to send God the Son to fetch a bride. Guess who the bride is? That's you, body of Christ. Amen. You're the bride, and Jesus is the bridegroom. So see, we already see the spiritual significance of this. Okay, let's begin.
Verse 10, and the servant took 10 camels of his master's camels and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mizpathim unto the city of Nahor.
Nahor was Abraham's brother. Why did he choose 10 camels? Because in biblical numerics, 10 is a number of divine alignment. In other words, Eliezer starts out right. When God gives you an assignment, and each one of you has a purpose and a mission in life, maybe you don't know it, maybe you do. Right now, your purpose is to get this word of God and let it stir up in you so you can do some good. And you make your assignment. You don't have to do it twice to get it right. You don't have to run around muddled in disorder to get it right. So you start out in order. 10 is a number of divine order, and God expects order. So Eliezer knows that, so he begins this way. By the way, in Bible times, they would put beautiful gold necklaces and silver necklaces, expensive jewelry around the camel's neck. So when people would see the camels coming into their city, they would say, the camels are coming, amen. The camels are coming, because they knew they had great treasure. It was a happy time. Amen. Let's see some camels coming, okay? Amen.
Verse 11, and he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water.
Oh, now that was smart. Now, why didn't Eliezer go to the nearest stable or the near grocery store or the near synagogue or something. No, he goes to the gathering place of the people. The well was the center of activity. They didn't have plumbing like we do. The women would come out at even time and draw water for their families, and they had the men would come and give the livestock water. So this was the right place. So he has wisdom. Everything's in order. See, you have an assignment. Don't go out of order. Don't go hither, thither, and yon. I would hear this. I would see what you say. I would see what you say. You have a book, Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. Read it down. That'll tell you where to go. You have one Holy Spirit and one Lord Jesus Christ. So he goes to the well, and he says, camels kneel down. There's a camel trough there.
At the time of the evening, even the time when women go out to draw water.
Women.
And he said, verse 12, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day.
The first thing he does, he gets to the well, he's in great order, and he prays. The women are not there yet. In a few minutes, lots of women are going to start coming. There could be 50 women. He could go from one after another, waste a lot of time, and he could talk to each one and sizing them up. Are you the one? Are you the one? Are you the one? And he could be exhausted. Oh, he'd worked so hard for the Lord. But he prays, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added Amen. Unto you. Not Rolls Royce is enough. You might get that. That doesn't matter. The things you need to accomplish God's work. I have sought this and I have found this. This is true for you. So he puts God first. Here's what he's going to do. He is going to saturate with prayer what he's about to initiate. Don't ever initiate any adventure, not a new job, not a marriage, not a relationship, not even listening to someone on television. Always saturate with prayer whatever project you're about to do. You won't get in such disorder and you won't make so many mistakes. Do you know I pray before I make a phone call? When you call me and I return your call before I do, I hold the phone in my hand and I ask God to flow through me to bless you. I don't want it to be in vain. I haven't got time for our chit-chat. I want to hit you with God right then and bless you. And see, the same thing, you wouldn't get the wrong job, you wouldn't get the wrong mate, and you wouldn't go on the wrong date. Everything would be in order. So we ask God's help.
And show kindness to my master Abraham.
He's also praying unselfishly. He's not praying for himself that he'll get the right woman so Abraham will give him a promotion. Be kind to my master Abraham. Lord, it's very important that Abraham get the right bride for Isaac because your son's coming through Isaac. So he prays for others.
13. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also.
Boy, is he bold. You know what he's doing? He's doing what in the Bible is called throwing out a fleece test to God. Perhaps you've heard the story of Gideon in the book of Judges. Gideon was very frightened. He was sifting out wheat in a wine press. You don't do that, but he was scared to death. He was hiding down there. And the angel of the Lord came to Gideon and said, you're a mighty man of valor, and God's going to use you to defeat the enemy. And Gideon said, how do I know? Give me a sign. So he said, God, can I take this piece of fleece and put it on the floor, and tomorrow morning the fleece will be wet and the floor will be dry? God said yes, so God did that. He still wasn't satisfied. He gave him another fleece test. Can the fleece be dry and the floor wet? So God said yes. It was very important that Gideon do that right because he was going to save the lives of God's people. So what Eliezer has done is thrown out a fleece test. Let the first woman that I talk to, the one you've chosen, let me ask her to give me a drink. She'll give me a drink and then she will add, and I'll water your camels also. Now that's expecting a lot of someone, but you see, this is a bride for Isaac. This is the body of Christ for Jesus. You're supposed to be outstanding.
Let the hand be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master.
And that way I'll know it. I won't make a mistake, and I won't go out of order and waste my time and your time, God, by going hither, thither, and yon. When God gives you an assignment, keep your focus. Everybody, your best friend, your beloved, is going to try to keep your focus off of it because they think you need some rest. Nope, keep your focus. If you make people mad, keep your focus. That's the only way you're going to get it done. Focus on your mission.
Verse 15. And it came to pass, before he was done speaking, that behold, Rebecca came out.
Before he finished praying, God sent him the right woman. The Bible says, before we call, he hears. While we are yet speaking, he, God, answers. How many times we've been praying about God's will, which way he wants us to go, what to do, or some instruction we need about doing his work. And while we're praying it, he's already orchestrating and bringing the right people or the right equipment or whatever we need. He'll do that for you. You know, God is on your side. If you're doing his work and in his will, you can't lose. If God be for you, who can be against
Amen.
You?
Amen.
Who was born to Zophia, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor.
Nahor is Abraham's brother. Now, this is the right pedigree. See, remember, he couldn't let Isaac have a bride there, those people in Canaan, because they mixed with the fallen angels, and God wanted a pure Abrahamic, Adamic seed line so his son could come through.
Abraham's brother, with her picture.
Oh, she had her water jug. She had come to get water in a big jug.
On her shoulders. 16. And the damsel was very fair to look upon.
She's very beautiful. But you know Rebecca's name means ensnarer. It sounds evil, but what it was, it meant that she was so vivacious. She was so full of love. If she saw you, she looked at your heart and she said, what can I do to help you? And then she would go the second mile. What else can I do to help you? You couldn't help but fall in love with her because she loved you so much. Isn't it difficult to resist someone who's loving you and you want to hate them?
A virgin, neither had any man known her.
Jesus is coming back for a virginal bride. And lo and behold, five are wise and five are foolish. Half the body of Christ would have married the Antichrist, spiritually speaking, when the Antichrist comes first, pretending to be Jesus. Wait for the true Christ. You want to be like Rebecca. You want to be virginal for Christ. Don't worship the false Christ.
And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher, then came up.
Now, Rebecca could have gone home. Those water jugs weren't easy to carry. To put them on her back, she could have said, well, mission accomplished. I'm going to take my water jug home. That's why she came to the well to get water. But God.
17. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. 18. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hastened and put down her pitcher with her hand and gave him drink.
See that right there? That was extra strength. She had to take it. She already had it on her shoulders. She had to pick it up and put it down and pour him some water.
19. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also.
Oh my goodness, I'll get water for your camels. This is what Jesus calls the second miler. Are you a second miler? Jesus said, if someone compels you to walk 1 mile, walk with them twain, 2 miles. Somebody wants your coat, give them your cloak also. Don't ever just stop helping people. See what else you can do. Look at Rebecca. She's going to feed water these camels. A camel can drink 52 gallons of water in 2 minutes. I found that out. I mean, as they have a storehouse, you know how those humps are there? I think that's underground water bottles. 52 gallons of water in 2 minutes. That's a lot of camels, okay. Little does Rebecca know, as she runs back and forth with her water jug, giving water to the camels, that she's blessing herself. See, anything you do for others, say you have a bad boss and they give you extra dirty work. I worked my way through college and I've always had the work ethic. And sometimes I had good bosses and sometimes I had bad. But I learned a lesson, do it as unto the Lord. See, what will happen if you do your best, if you go the second mile, even on your job or anything you do in a relationship, in friendship, and with God, that's going to come back and bless you. Little does she know that these camels she's watering are going to take her to meet her Prince Charming, Isaac.
Until they have done drinking.
That means each one, 10 camels, got 52 gallons of water each. Wow.
Verse 20. And she hastened and emptied her pitcher into the trough.
She was really running. That's a job.
And ran again into the well to draw water for all his camels. And the man wondering after her.
Wondered means he was amazed, he was stunned. My Lord, not only did she give me drink, she's feeding these water camels. I mean, they just got this whole water storage unit, and she's feeding them, and she's not grumbling about it. She's vivacious, she's happy, she's doing a good deed. You see, when you finally surrender it all, what makes you happy is to serve. It is so much better to give than to receive. How can I serve you today? What can I do for you today?
Amen.
Adapt that attitude when you go to work tomorrow, in your friendship, in your home tonight, in your relationships, at church, at play, at work. What can I do to serve you? You'll be free and you'll be happy. God loves a cheerful giver.
Held his peace, to wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not.
He's stunned because God's answered his prayer. Have you ever been so amazed that God answered your prayer so quickly? Oh, that's a little faith.
And it came to pass as the camels had done drinking.
Had done drinking, that means they got their 52 gallons each.
That the man took a golden earring of a half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hand, 10 shekels weight of gold. Verse 23. And he said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee.
Now this is the third test. He needs to know for sure that she's the right pedigree.
Is there any room in thy father's house for extra lodging?
Now she needs to know this. He needs to know this too. Is she friendly? Because God's people are told to take in the stranger. Will she do that?
Verse 24. And she said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor.
Nahor, Abraham's brother, and Eliezer knows this. Okay, check, check, check. This is the right pedigree. Boy, is God good. God just plain led him right to the right woman. Orderly. You see, your mission doesn't have to be in every rabbit trail and looking hither, thither, and yon. There's a beautiful Bible in order. No wonder God tells us to study God's word one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. You don't jump around because you're going to get it out of context. Sometimes the subject begins with chapter 1, verse 1. And therefore, everything's in order, and it'll keep your life in order.
Verse 25. And she said, moreover, we have straw and provender enough for you to lodge. Verse 26, and the man bowed down himself and worshiped the Lord.
Look what he did. Rebecca's still standing there. He finds out that he's going to be able to lodge there. And remember, he's got some young men with him to take care of the camels. He's probably got about 5 workers with him. He bows down right there in Rebecca's presence, and he's going to thank the Lord. Why is this important that Rebecca, if she's going to be the chosen bride for Isaac, through whom Jesus will come, that she must see that these are people who pray and seek God. Because the Bible tells you not to be unequally yoked. Do not have the first date if that other one is not saved and does not love God's word. Now you say, oh, but that's being mean and saying you're better. No, it isn't. You can witness to them and you can be friendly. You're opening a door to have a broken heart. Because if you're called and chosen and elected, God says you must give up father, mother, brother, sister, house, children, lands. I give it all for God. Now, it doesn't mean that he won't give you a mate or give you a house or give you other things. Probably he'll give you more. But the point is you're not to be unequally yoked. The most miserable adults that I've ever counseled are those who are called of God, but they're married to someone who does not equally yoked. Maybe they're even Christians, but there's so many levels of Christianity. Some's eyes are open, some are not. Some know the mystery, some live for God, some just watch the show. And so you see, if you would, what you would do, ask God to bring you someone who would go to church with you, who would pray with you, who would read the Bible with you. God's not being mean. You're going to have a broken heart. You're not going to be happy. If you get out of God's will and kick him in the face and don't fulfill your calling, you're going to be the most miserable human being in the world. Why not be happy and be equally yoked? This also means not just in love and romance. It means in working together in Christ. Scott and I know this. We both know this. We have reached so many people. I've reached thousands upon thousands and thousands of people. Very few people I would open my heart, and very few people he would open his heart. We knew that we could trust each other. You see, even in the ministry, there is that. It doesn't mean that people aren't loving. We love them. We give our lives for them. We do anything for you. But that secret God that God has given to you cannot be thrown just before anybody. You'll lose your focus and you'll lose your energy. And that's Satan's plan. Do not be unequally yoked. Rebecca had to know. She was moving in a family that sought God first and prayed about everything. No wonder Paul says to pray without ceasing. I mean, I don't even send off my bills after I write the check without praying for them. Everything by prayer and supplication. You won't make so many mistakes, and you will also avoid traps. Pray about everything. Really, aren't we like little children? Do we know how to take the next step except our Father lead us? Yes. No.
Verse 27. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute of my master, of his mercy and his truth, I being the way the Lord led me to the house of my master's brother.
He's thanking God right then and there that God answered his prayer. As soon as God blesses you, stop right that moment and thank him. Don't say, I'm going to do it later on at night when I can be alone. You know, you can pray at work with your unsaved boss all around because God can read your mind. Say thank you as soon as the blessing comes. It'll keep God's blessings coming and it'll prevent Satan from getting his foot in your door.
Amen.
28. The damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things.
Now, she knows that when somebody puts all these jewels on your face and on your arms, that there's a dowry. In other words, she realizes that somebody wants to marry her. So she's very excited. Mama, guess what? And you're going to find out she's got a brother.
29. And Rebecca had a brother, and his name was Laban.
Play the violins. Watch out for Laban. Laban's her brother, but Laban has a weakness for money. If he can find some kind of deal where he's going to get the money, he is going to move. He sees those precious jewels on her. He realizes that somebody's very rich. Maybe there's some change for Laban.
And Laban went out to the man at the well. Verse 30. And it came to pass, when he saw the earring and the bracelets on his sister's hands,
he went out to the man in the well, hoping he would give him some bracelets.
and heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, "Thus spake the man unto me." Then it came unto the man that he stood by the camels at the well. 21, and he said, "Come in, thou blessed of the earth."
Blessed of the earth means you are well healed. You are rich. Come into our house. We welcome you because you're a very rich man. Remember, Jesus says that one comes in your midst and they're wearing nice apparel and a golden ring, and you welcome them and you give them the front seat. And another comes in and he's barefoot and kind of unkempt and hasn't had a bath, and you make him sit in the back. Don't do that. God always looks at the heart. You want to ask God to give you a gift of seeing people's heart. God does not judge on the outer appearance. I never do that. I'm not impressed by clothes. I'm not impressed by jewelry. I'm not impressed by money. A woman came in my other studio and she said, "By the way, I'm a millionaire." I said, "Great." I said, "I'm rich too. I give all mine away." I think that's very rich. And in other words, that's so silly. And Laban is impressed by money.
"Wherefore standest thou without? I have prepared the house, the room for the camels."
And you're welcome. You can lodge it. Don't you think he's going to give him a bill in the morning for overnight lodging? Yes.
32, and the man came into the house, and he unloaded his camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash the man's feet.
Okay, they took care of the camels, they had a place for them, and it was customary to wash your guests' feet because the roads were dirty. Okay, about time to have a feast now.
"And the men's feet that were with him." 32, "and he did set meat before them to eat."
Okay, now we're going to have a party. However, remember, this is Eliezer. He came with a mission. Everything's in order. He's put God there. He sees God's answer. The only thing he needs now is a permission from Rebekah's family and Rebekah herself and Laban, the elder brother there, to take Rebekah back to Isaac. So he didn't come to have dinner. He didn't come to have a nice night's sleep. He was on a mission. So before he eats, before you go out to dinner, before you start playing the friendship game, state your purpose. See, before that first date, let that other one know you're called of God. That doesn't make you unattractive. The truth is, people who are totally committed to God are more attractive because you have more love, you have more enthusiasm, you have more vitality. Yep. And let them know that you read your Bible every day, because that's God's voice and there's nothing going on in the world that you want to listen to. In other words, he's going to lay it straight. In other words, you don't go out to lunch just to go to lunch. You don't go out to dinner. You don't go to this and that just to do that. You're not here for that. You may do that. You may have fun doing that. But your mission is an assignment from God, and everything you do, you must keep your focus. You don't stop and take a break and have world fun. You have God fun, and that's a lot better. God fun. God fun is finding you a partner who can pray in the Holy Spirit, and y'all rip, roar, and pray heaven down for somebody
Amen.
Else.
Amen.
Now that's a party.
But he said, "I will not eat until I have told mine errand." And he said, "Speak on."
So he says, "I'm going to tell you why I'm here, because when I tell you, you might not want me to be your guest, and I'm going to keep my focus." So Laban says, "Okay, go ahead and tell us."
33, and he said, "I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he hath become great. He's given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses." Verse 36, "And Sarah, my master's wife, bare him a son when she was old, and unto him it was given all that he had."
And so my master Abraham is leaving all of his wealth to his son Isaac. And so now Eliezer begins to explain to Rebekah's family how that he prayed at the well and asked that the right woman would come. He would ask her for a drink. She would give him drink, and she would volunteer, that second mile Christian, and she would say, "I will water your camels." So he says, I see that it is Rebecca. She's the one. And then right there at the table before he eats, Eliezer thanks God. You can read that at home up through verse 48. And next week we'll begin with verse 49. Now we're going to see what happens. Will Rebecca marry Isaac? Tune in next time to see. God bless
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Mystery moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. Let me introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very good, Miss Sherry, and that's great. The camels are coming, aren't they?
The camels are coming.
We're waiting for them. Okay, our question today. What was the meaning of the scroll flying through the air in Ezekiel?
The scroll flying through the air in Ezekiel was a prophecy that God said here at the end times, the scroll is the word of God, that the word of God would cover the earth as the waters that cover the sea. See, right now on this radio and this internet, that scroll is flying through the air. That was the prophecy, and now is the manifestation of the prophecy.
Amen.
The scroll is flying through the air.
Amen.
The word is on the air. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
When David left his stuff in the cart and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag, what is Scott's stuff?
It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings to search out a matter, the heaven for the heights and the earth for depth. And the heart of the king is unsearchable. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall be a vessel that comes forth worthy of the refiner. Proverbs 25:2.
I love that
scripture.
Amen. Thank you so much, Scott. That
You're welcome,
is beautiful,
Sherry.
Scott Sturge. Thank you. I'm going to pray for the sick, so gather your sick ones around the radio or internet. But before we do, let's pray for anyone who's not saved. If you're not saved or not sure you're saved, pray this prayer with me and mean it, and God will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's go. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To enlarge God's territory.
To enlarge God's territory.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
I belong to Jesus.
I belong to Jesus.
Amen. 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 Now, if you prayed that, my announcer is going to give you my number in a few minutes, so feel free to call and leave that message on my answer machine. Now, let me pray for those of you who are sick. Precious Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, I ask according to your word, and I put the remembrance of your word in Malachi chapter 4. Oh, let the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in your wings. I ask the Son of Righteousness will go down the spine, and I ask you to heal every vertebrae. I ask you to get the vertebrae perfectly aligned with each other, not one protruding here or protruding there. That everything be in divine order in the spine, aligned spine, divine order in the spine, in the pelvis, and in the hips, and in the colon. We call for perfect circulation, perfect assimilation, perfect elimination, no overaction or inaction. The blood be pure, the blood be holy. We call for strength for feet, that lame legs walk. We call forth tumors to be gone, and growths dissipate, disease be gone, lupus be gone, in the name and the power of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Right now, in the name and the power of Jesus, the Spirit of God is flowing into your body. There's a whole energy going into your head, and the airways and the passages there. It is going into the shoulders and moving the shoulder blades, and into the stomach, and into the hips, and into the legs. Receive your healing. He said his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes you were healed. Praise you, Father. We give you glory.
Yes.
In Jesus' mighty
Jesus.
Name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Nothing is given to you to keep. We want to give everything away. Like Rebecca gave all of that energy feeding those camels. But those camels are going to be a blessing to her. So go ahead and give the truth to someone else. Make sure that you keep your purpose of your life and your focus clear. Remember that Jesus' name is called the Word of God, Revelation 19, 13. And he said in John 17, 17, thy word is truth. I want to especially thank our announcer, my twin friend, Scott Merson,
for his
Scott stuff and all the good things he does to help Trumpet of Truth. We appreciate you and your beautiful family.
Thank you.
And I appreciate all of you who listen to this program and pray for this program. I walk on water and I do not drown because God's mission will always abound. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Until next time, this is your host, Sherry Medlock, saying I love you and I thank you for listening. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now until next time, when we all get together, we're going to hear the joyful sound of the trumpet
of truth.
Yeah. Woo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
Song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name, Jesus, the only one who could ever save, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you, oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside you, open up my eyes. Ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name, Jesus, the only one who could ever save, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy.
Did you feel the mountains tremble? Did you hear the oceans roar? When the people rose to sing on Jesus Christ the risen one. Jesus, did you feel the people tremble? Did you hear the singers roar? When the lost began to sing on Jesus Christ the saving one. And we can see that God, you're moving a mighty river through the nations. When young and old return to Jesus, fling wide you heavenly gates, prepare the way of the risen Lord. Prepare the way. Open up the doors and let the music play. Let the streets resound. Feel the darkness tremble when all the saints join in one song, and all the streams flow as one river to wash away our brokenness. And here we see that God, you're moving. A time of jubilee is coming. Young and old return to Jesus. So fling wide you heavenly gates, prepare the way of the street.
You are listening to today's Modern Worship here in Brevard County, 91.5 FM, WMIE.
I've been looking back over my shoulder, retracing all my steps, trying to unforget. And I see the mountaintops I've journeyed over, and I see the valleys deep where I crawl on my hands and knees. Pages of memories filled with joy and stained with tears that call my name, and if I listen, I can hear them saying, remember the way he led us up to the top of the highest mountain. Remember the way he carried us through the deepest heart. Remember his promises, every step on the road ahead. Look where we've been and where we're going. And remember to remember. And now I'm looking out at the road that's waiting. My eyes can only see so far out ahead of me. As sure as the sun will shine, there'll be more mountains I want to climb, and more deep dark shadow lands where desperate faith is all I have. Till I'm home, I'm resting on my hope and trust in the only one. Remember the way I led you up the mountain. Remember the way I carried you. Oh, remember the way I led you up to the top of the highest mountain. Remember the way I carried you through the deepest dark. Remember my promises forever. Step on the road ahead. Look where you've been.
seek you. My soul thirsts for you. You are my God. I seek you. And my flesh faints.